Welcome to Dig a Little Deeper, the Core Safety Interview Series brought to you by the National Mining Association.
This interview with Matt Peterson Howard of Peabody Energy was conducted on January 19th, 2016.
Now, here's your host, Nelson Duffel.
Good afternoon. I'm here today with Matt Peterson Howard. Matt is Vice President of Safety and Health, works in a variety of areas in that, connected with Peabody and previous organizations that he has been involved with. We're privileged this afternoon to have a few minutes to speak with him a little bit about safety and health at Peabody, but also in other areas where he's worked and as it relates to core safety. Matt, welcome, and thank you for joining us.
No, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
How did you get started in the mining industry to begin with?
Yeah, I took a bit of a roundabout way into the mining industry. So I started life out of university as a graduate engineer, actually working in a design office in a smelter. And that was in North Wales, United Kingdom. So the smelter was actually owned and operated in part by Rio Tinto. That's how I started sort of my journey into the mining industry, but didn't necessarily work in a mining-only environment until working out at the Rio Tinto-owned U.S. Borax out in California.
Tell me a little bit about your current position there at Peabody, and what are your areas of responsibility as they relate to safety and health?
I'm the Vice President of Safety and Health for Peabody, and really that's setting the global direction, strategy, and framework, particularly as it relates to our work with core safety. It's about setting that structure, both from a framework and standards position, but also oversight for the audit and assurance process within that H&S function.
What does that look like for you on a regular basis?
Well, we spent a lot of time over the last 12 to 18 months implementing the standard itself and providing our first round of site-based audits against the standards, which are really specific safety and health-related requirements pertaining to the higher-risk activities that we do within Peabody and really relate across the mining industry at large. So things like isolation, working at height, confined space, and some of the health side of things around fitness for duty and occupational health exposure. So a lot of that has been development and working with the sites to act as a sounding board to really get good alignment and good understanding of sites, but also that we have some buy-in for long-term sustainability of those standards.
So Peabody Energy is the largest private sector coal company globally. You've got operating assets in the USA and Australia. You're serving metallurgical and thermal coal customers in more than 25 countries. So this is definitely an international operation that we're talking about here.
Absolutely. Quite an extensive history associated with Peabody and our operations. And of course, it provides that interesting dynamic, you know, multiple continent exposure and trying to ensure that we have something that fits for all of our operating entities.
Tell me a little bit about the safety and health management at Peabody. Was there an existing safety program there before you implemented core safety, and how well did it integrate with core safety?
Yeah, I mean, there was an existing safety and health approach and system, if you will. We've actually taken a pretty long, hard look in light of core safety, and of course, Peabody was involved in developing core safety. We've taken a long, hard look at our management system. We've actually got our own safety way of life management system is what it's called, which aligns very nicely to core safety. In fact, it has the same fundamental key areas that would be referenced in core safety, that being leadership and organization, risk management relating to safety and health, and assurance. It's essentially functionally equivalent to that of core safety, but it's tailored to Peabody operations. It's more prescriptive in certain areas relating to really how what we do and our approach, and in some areas it goes beyond the requirements that are listed in the core safety framework itself. But they integrate fundamentally; they integrate very well. What we've done is just taken the Peabody lens and said, "This is how we're going to approach this particular piece of it." So it is essentially the same structure as core safety.
At Peabody, would you say there's an active culture of safety? Is that a term that you guys use at all?
So absolutely, there's an active safety culture here. Again, the question really came from how do you get that, you know, in terms of the results you want? And I think that's the challenge. How do we channel that energy into the right areas and make sure that we're aligned in what we want? I think is part of the value of having something like a framework and a management system is it does generate that alignment structure that helps channel some of that energy.
But when you were at Rio Tinto, then you played an integral role in spearheading the development of core safety along with other leaders that were there.
That's correct. Essentially, Gary Goldberg, who was the head of Rio Tinto Minerals division at the time, was an active member of the NMA and part of that CEO group. He was very influential in getting the concept of a responsible care framework into the NMA. That really allowed me to play a fairly expansive role within the framework itself related to core safety. So it brought a lot of different excellent ideas from numerous companies like Barrick, Consol, of course, Peabody, and Rio, and that really was the stage for it to kick off.
At that time, in companies like Rio and Peabody and any other ones that you might have had experience with, was there a general feeling within leadership that safety was an important path that we had to pay a lot of attention to, or was that kind of just on the forefront of that?
Honestly, I mean, safety has really been built into the key fabric and pillars of many organizations. Peabody and Rio are certainly two that I can speak to more intelligently than others, but I believe it would be the same in many, many organizations. I think there's been a long understanding that really to drive excellent results, you need to be excellent in all facets. You have to be excellent at safety, health, environmental stewardship, you know, in terms of having not only the ability to operate, but also being able to do that in a way which is competitive. Safety speaks for itself. You can't have a productive work environment where people are getting hurt. It costs money for people to get hurt. So I don't think there's ever been a question around the importance and fundamental need for high-performing safety and health performance. I think probably the bigger challenge has always been, you know, how do you make that happen, and how do you make it happen over the long term? Really where you get into the discussion around where does core safety come in and what are some of the benefits associated with core safety or a core safety style approach.
Are there facets of core safety that you would point out and say this is definitely something that's worth paying attention to, and that if an organization or a company is not using it right now, that they should be?
I think one of the things that really differentiates core safety to other, what you might sort of say as traditional safety and health management systems or other management systems, is the specific inclusion of culture and mechanisms to understand perceptions of employees and things that may be causing the organization to not be able to achieve its potential, which is not necessarily typical with a safety and health management system. So I think that's one of the things that really does separate core safety and the approach from core safety apart. And I would strongly urge anyone who hasn't seen the framework to take a look at that, and take a look in particular around some of the mechanisms that are included there around culture.
Mining companies seem to be putting more and more emphasis on strong leadership in terms of improving safety cultures. You mentioned that earlier. Is that, from your standpoint, something you see as a necessary requirement to drive towards this goal that we have of 0-55 in terms of zero fatalities and a 50% reduction in the next 5 years of significant injuries? Does that have to start from the top down? Is that the integral piece of all this?
Leadership is fundamental. I mean, leadership is going to define and shape culture. Leadership is really what the glue that holds the pieces together, if you will. It's a challenge, because to have truly great leadership requires a lot of things, and it requires hard things, people to be looking at themselves, be self-reflective, be able to take some feedback on, which maybe is not necessarily easy or natural for us to do. And also, I think one thing that leaders need to be able to do throughout all of this is to look at what people do and not just the results they get. And that's particularly the case with safety leaders. We're going to have that care for our people. For me, I feel privileged. I've worked alongside and for some excellent leaders, not just in safety and health, across the whole functional group.
Do you have any advice on how to get leadership buy-in through the ranks to something like core safety? Or how do you go about getting everybody on board with the same message?
I've been fortunate in the sense that both in Rio Tinto and Peabody, the executive team, the senior managers, very engaged, very passionate about safety. At a lower level, really the challenge is getting people involved. We've deliberately tried within Peabody to try and get that involvement at the front end, syndicate, get review, get input from people before something becomes an approved standard. It's more about, you know, getting a review at the earlier stage. So that has its pain point. It takes longer to do, but I think the long-term benefit outweighs the short-term pain. And again, people own it, and it becomes their standard.
What barriers are there, if any, that we still need to overcome throughout the industry in order to reach zero fatalities? Is that even doable, do you think?
Well, I think it's doable. I think we need to do a bit more of challenging the existing norms. I mean, I think we do have a tendency to default to some of our automatic modes. And sometimes, to be honest with you, that's not always aligned to how people operate. if you look at the global data on mining, you know, at the end of the day, we're not finding any new ways to injure people. Broadly, the same mechanisms of damage that have been occurring for the last 100 years. Now, we may have increased the size of the equipment, and we may have increased the energies involved. With that, we may have also got a lot better at managing some of these hazards so that we have reduced injuries and fatalities over that period of time. But fundamentally, we need to understand those mechanisms, and we also need to understand what puts us in a position of risk, not necessarily what the results are.
If I was with a company and I had my own version of safety and health management system right now, and somebody came along and said, you should check out Core Safety and consider integrating that as well, if their response was, why? Why do I need to do that? Is that not kind of overkill if I have both of these programs or not? What do you think about that?
If it were a mining company, I think they would be wise to look at the Core Safety framework and essentially provide a self-gap assessment. Is what we're requiring of our management system functionally the same as that of Core Safety? And if it's not, what are the gap areas? And like I said before, a lot of the areas that I've seen typically relates to some of those cultural pieces where they're not included in a management system. So for the work involved in reviewing the Core Safety framework against an existing management system, I wouldn't see a massive amount of downside because you wouldn't necessarily, I mean, it's up to you if you want to adopt it or not, but it's available for at least a benchmark. It's a free benchmark, so why would you elect not to do that? Part of safety and health is about exploring what other people have, and I think we're quite good in the safety and health community about openly sharing best practice, sharing things that work well between companies, and I think that would be the same in this case.
Matt, is there anything else about Core Safety in particular that you'd like for our readers or listeners to be aware of from your standpoint?
Well, I would say this. I mean, Core Safety is a framework. It's a structure, which is fundamental, and I think you need that. But I don't think it can succeed without the energy and the passion of the leadership, of the people, of the employees, to really generate that environment where we can consistently go incident-free. And I think that's the piece that, you know, I would like to highlight in the sense that, you know, we can't just wave a magic wand and say, well, I've implemented a system here, and we've gone through the more mechanical piece of we've put in standards and expectations. Without that energy and without that commitment at all levels of the organization to really make that happen, and having the courage to interject when things aren't working as they should, and having the desire to coach and help, I don't think we'll ever achieve the incident-free operations that we aspire to have. That's really the challenge with all of this, is getting it all working together well, get a structure that works well, build a culture that cares for people and is prepared to go above and beyond the call of duty, and then wrap in an effective assurance process that makes sure that we're doing what we say we wanted to do and make sure it's working for us. And I think if we get all the elements working well together, I think that's when we see great things happen.
Thank you so much for taking the time today to share your insights about mining safety, Matt. We really appreciate it.
No, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
You've been listening to Dig a Little Deeper, the Core Safety interview series from the National Mining Association. For more information, please visit our website at coresafety.org.